many things that you can learn no matter how old you are, man. And like, you know, Ed O'Neill, you know, from Married with Children. I know it's not a good it's not a good show to watch, but we were growing up, we know Al Bundy. Yeah. But he got his black belt from the Gracies.
I didn't know.
Yeah,
that.
Dude, I found that out like 5 years ago. I saw him on one of the video clips with the Gracie breakdown, and he's a black belt, dude.
I just found out Putin is really? Like an 8-degree black belt in judo and a black belt in jiu-jitsu or something.
Oh,
like,
I didn't
like
know. That's
high
crazy.
Level, yeah, it's crazy, man.
That's crazy. He does look a little fit now that you mention that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, shout out to Habib Nurmagomedov. If you're listening to us, you're going to be on the show, inshallah, brother.
Inshallah.
And we're going to smash him.
Alhamdulillah. I know you guys don't like it. So anyways, back to the Fiqh Council stuff, which we'll get into the actually subject we wanted to talk about today with you. So I found out you're in a Fiqh Council because you're in that picture at ISNA. And then I saw a bunch of comments about, like, how come there are no women here?
Yeah, that was funny.
Why are there no women in the Fiqh Council?
There was one person.
Who said there's no women in the Fiqh Council, man?
There was one women that were making an issue, but no guys.
Well, there's not many women inventors either, so what's the problem?
Yeah, you're right.
So that was the discussion online. So, yeah, there's actually two women on the Fiqh Council.
Okay.
Dr. Dina and then Dr. Zainab Alwani. So Dr. Zainab was the only one in the picture.
Okay.
Yeah. So people had a problem and they said, well, why isn't the Fiqh Council composed of 50% female and 50% male? Otherwise, it's automatically implied that there's some gender, you know, discrimination taking place.
What about racial discrimination? Is the Fiqh Council equally represented across all ethnic boundaries?
Not at all. No.
Identities?
No,
no,
it's not.
It's not?
It's not.
Then you're racist.
It's not, I didn't form the council, so
you're part of a racist council.
Yeah,
that is.
But I understand the argument. Nor do I agree with.
No, this is what happened at our masjid. Actually, a whole board insurrection started based on the board not having an equal representation of Arabs and Indians, and the minority were like, there was like 4 Arab guys and 3 Indian guys, and one of the Arab guys said, "Hey, you Indians, you guys don't have equal representation. We should get equal representation." And he filled their ears with all this talk, and he caused them to go to court and all these legal battles. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah. By the way, he was. That's just the way Sim is. He was playing devil's advocate. He's not.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know that.
So take offense.
He listens to the podcast.
I know, but I don't want him to.
Oh, you're doing it for the listener. You're listening.
Yeah, I don't want him to start using some jujitsu all and put your arm like your arm is right in front of him. He might slap an armbar on you.
No, anyone who's got an Ertugrul ring on, I'm not gonna mess with him. How dare you? I like that.
So like, how did you get on the Fiqh Council? Did you like? It's like a job application that they had an opening and like you want to apply or.
It's so, about being recognized
so
by the league.
I'll tell you as much as I can tell you publicly.
Okay.
So basically, the Fiqh Council is known to be more senior scholars. So what happened is at some point a few years back, they said, you know, we need to start including some younger people. So they reached out and they brought 3 younger people on. So I was one of those people. So they chose 3 people who they thought would make a good fit for the Fiqh Council. One was Sheikh Yasser Qadi. One was... what's his name in Canada, Dr. Jasser Auda, and then myself. So I was the 3rd one, happened to be the youngest one. Mm-hmm. So I was recommended. Basically, you have to be recommended by, I think, 2 people on the Fiqh Council. So Dr. Muzammil Siddiqui, he's my neighbor. He knows me really well. Like he's in my area.
Yeah.
So I'm his neighbor actually in the same area. So he recommended me. So I've been working with him for a long time. So he recommended me. Then the Fiqh Council approves. 2/3 approval, then you get on the Fiqh Council.
Gotcha. Yeah. So now you've got a recent paper that I guess you're I don't know if it's published yet, but you're working on.
Yeah.
Right? Which is the concept of marijuana in Islam.
Yeah.
So is what's this about? Are we allowed to get high now, like publicly? And
short answer is no.
Why not? It's legal.
Yes, it is. Well, not in
alcohol
Illinois.
Is legal too,
not,
brother.
Not in your state.
Alcohol
I mean,
is
it's
legal,
legal in my
it will
state.
Be.
You know,
it will be
it
legal
will be,
recreationally.
It will be in just a matter of time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you go to Canada, but legality like drinking alcohol is legal too, right? That doesn't mean you can.
That's
do it
true, but.
Well, that's true. What?
But you know, there's you know what we call shifa, in some type of ailments that cannabis brings. Let's we can talk about that later. But alcohol is much more poisonous substance. I don't think it's a 1-to-1 ratio that you can make. But you guys are the scholars. Please don't put me in an armbar. I'm already looking. They're looking at me like. with murderous eyes.
No, you're here for that reason. You play the devil's advocate.
Right. Sheikh Mustafa, it's funny because in high school, I was interested in smoking weed, right?
Oh.
I never got a chance to, but it was like part of my phase of being like.
I know some guys who
can
hook you up.
You know, I was like part of, because I was like,
you couldn't find it or what?
Like I mean, I didn't
want to know the background.
No, no, that's good. I'm glad you're mentioning that because I'm
not protecting you. No, because it was, but the idea was, I was like, well, Muslims smoke cigarettes, right, and weed is less harmful than cigarettes.
Right.
So therefore, weed is probably halal too.
Right.
I didn't know that.
It is actually less harmful.
Yeah.
I mean, physically speaking, in terms of carcinogens and everything, weed is not known to have any carcinogenic substances.
Up to research that they have right now.
And it doesn't give you like lung cancer or like what's that lung cirrhosis or whatever the heck that is.
Yeah.
So, I remember it is funny. When I went to college, I was friends with the Ismaili guy. I didn't know that Ismaili were kuffar back then.
Hey, at least you weren't friends with Ismail Royer.
Yeah, I would be in jail.
See what I did?
Right. But anyways, we're friends now, alhamdulillah. But like, this Ismaili friend of mine, he smoked weed like every day. Like in our dorm room, we're like always baked.
In your room?
In his dorm room. We lived in the same building, but.
You went in and hotboxed in his room.
So, like, he would never give it to
even
me.
Even he doesn't know what that. You too advanced for him, son.
I'm
he doesn't even know what that is.
I don't know what that is. Yeah.
You know what hotboxing is?
No.
Okay, I'll teach you later.
So I asked him, like, hey, can I try some weed? He's like, no, you pray 5 times a day. It's not good for you.
Wow. That's protection, brother. That's you wanted something, and the guy who you were calling a kuffar, and I'm not disagreeing with you, but he even, mashallah, man, Allah can protect you through even.
Yeah, so anyways. Eventually, I somehow like came across the, like I became a murid of a Sheikh Abu Khadija, and then he guided me to Al Islam.
Oh, what you thought was Al Islam?
But that's anyway. Story. So the story on what's the deal on weed? You read this paper. Why is this important for us to talk about?
Okay, so this is important for a number of reasons. Number one, there's this huge debate and discussion going on about marijuana throughout America and probably throughout about all Western countries, pretty much, right? Because it's forbidden. It's forbidden by law. The federal government classifies it as a Schedule I controlled substance, which basically means that it has a lot of potential for harm and addiction and things like that, and it has absolutely no medical properties or no medical benefits. That's what the federal government says. Then you got like 31 states have already legalized some form of, you know, medical marijuana or medical cannabis. And you got like, I forgot, it's like 8 states or something that have legalized recreational. So this is a huge debate going on in America right now. Canada just legalized it as well. That's one reason why it's really important, because there's a debate among Muslims and non-Muslims about whether to legalize it or not. And there's two aspects of legalization. There's recreational legalization, and then there's medical legalization.
Yeah.
That's one reason why it's important. Second reason why it's important is because Muslims have been smoking pot for a long time, right? Like Muslims get high and they do this, and this is a problem with, you know, all youth societies, right? Like you went through it, you know, even though you were protected, like you wanted to, right? Like we grew up in this culture, man, like Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre and Chronic and the albums and like
weed smoking competitions, who could smoke the longest.
Exactly. Yeah. We got the police officer comes in and like talks about DARE and drug abuse resistance education program. And then on the flip side you got like, you know, you got a song about like, you know, I smoke 2 joints in the morning, I smoke 2 joints at night, you know, all of that stuff, you know. So
it's become a strong part of our society.
It's part of our society. It's part
and
part
we
of
can apply, we
Bob
can
Marley,
apply
looking up to Bob Marley
exactly,
and music.
You know?
And,
can we apply the principle like urf, just like how the Yemenis have done with qat and permitted it in their?
You're trying to jump to that one. You know,
so. Yeah, I mean. So
I think we should get into that. Just let him.
We'll get to that later.
Yeah, we'll get. I know you're looking forward to that one. You know?
Yeah.
So
look how happy he is.
Just wait for the fatwa first before you consume anything in the studio
I will. I plead the fifth in every aspect of this discussion. Unlike Mahin, who's already admitted to wanting to smoke it. Astaghfirullah.
Abu Khadija's not going to like that. Anyways, man, continue.
All right, so you got one, you got the legal debate, right? Two, you got Muslims smoking weed, and it's part of the shahwa, it's part of the desires. People want to escape from reality. It's the cool thing to do. Everyone else is doing it. More and more people are doing it. Access is easy. So you got Muslims wanting to do it, and Muslims get confused between the whole debate on legalizing marijuana with halalizing marijuana, right? And they don't know where to draw that line. So like when you're talking about legalization, you're like, You're fighting for like legalization of marijuana because it has medical benefits. You're fighting that it's safer than alcohol. So if alcohol is allowed, we should legalize marijuana. But then the Muslim, who's kind of like automatically leaning towards liberal values and leaning towards the left because of Islamophobia, having to align ourselves with, you know, left-wing politics, that all has an effect on us. And what's happening is more and more people are justifying and rationalizing to themselves.
That's a great point.
Why it's okay. Like, it's okay to use marijuana. And that's a big concern that I have for Muslim youth, especially.
Hmm.
You know, so these are like probably two of the main reasons why it's really important. And the third reason why it's really important is there are medical benefits to it, and people are suffering from certain illnesses, and we got opiate addiction. Opioids are like being prescribed left and right. People are taking all of these painkillers and prescription drugs that's leading them to addictions, leading them to potential like meth use later on. And if these are actually much safer and better alternatives for medicine, you know, for medicinal use, why should Islam like prohibit that? Because the difference between like smoking to get high and like trying to cure some like, you know, illness that you have, or you got, you know, you're going through chemo and, you know, you're going to get all these crazy drugs. Maybe this is better for you. That's why it's important.
So on the medical side, you think it would be considered halal, or just case by case?
It's case by case.
Okay.
You know, you could set some general principles. I've been doing a lot of research on this. You can set some general principles. One of the things that people don't really realize, and I think probably a lot of scholars even don't realize, when I started doing this research, I was like, I kind of had one perception going into it. And that perception was like, you know, all this medical talk and all that, it's just people just want an excuse to get high, right? Mm. And I was like, you know, a lot of this probably is just like a sham. There may be like one or two potential benefits. But it turns out like there is a lot of legitimate research coming out to show that there's medicinal or medical benefits to it. And then when I started researching, I was just like, whoa, wait a minute. You know, the cannabis plant has been talked about since like Greek times. You know, Hippocrates, Galen, they've been talking about the harms as well as the benefits of it. And the Muslims who adopted that, you know, medical framework of the Greeks and the philosophical framework, and they developed it, they're talking about hashish. Hashish is from the cannabis plant. It's like, mm-hmm. It's a drug. It's haram too, just to clarify.
Is hashish another kind of, it's not marijuana, but another extract of cannabis?
Yeah, so basically cannabis is a plant.
Okay.
Okay? There's different forms, sativa and indica and stuff like that. So marijuana is made from the leaves of the cannabis plant.
Okay.
Hashish is made from the resin. Resin is like the sap of a tree.
The buds, so, yeah. From the buds.
Yeah, from the buds, exactly.
The leaves are from
The buds are, marijuana is coming from the buds, yeah. Still, from the leaves. But this is from the resin of it. So yeah. it used to be stronger. It way stronger than marijuana, but now they've engineered marijuana to have higher THC content, so it's like exceeding the THC
astronomically
content.
higher than it was before.
Much
yeah.
more than even hashish is now. You know,
yeah.
So that's like the Muslim scholars talked about the potential medical benefits of hashish, and hashish is stronger than marijuana. It's from the same plant, which means that there's some validity, there's some legitimacy to this medical research that's coming out, and you have a lot of people doing this, right? So when I started that research, I was like, oh, this is, whoa. I'm like, wait a minute, man. Like, the same scholars who are saying hashish is haram, like clear cut, 100% haram, they're like, but if it's really for legitimate medical use, it's like, it's okay. I'm just like, whoa, wait a minute, man.
And with
like,
that obviously has conditions too.
A lot of conditions.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's not just right off the bat. Like you can
self-medicate
yourself.
Okay.
Oh,
don't log off right now. Be like, oh, I got the fatwa, man.
End the podcast.
Dude, that's it. We're going straight to the dispensary right now. And give me the hashish because, you know, Imam Zarkashi, Imam Nawawi said it's okay. Well, the dude from Riyadh al-Salihin said it's okay. I'm done, man. Like I'm heading over there right now, you know. So yeah, we got to be careful. All right. So go ahead.
All I was saying is the general understanding, and he could chime into this because he's more of a specialist in this field, but you know, there's reason to give stringent leeway for making something halal. Reason being is, number one, since we were talking about benefits, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sets the precedent in the Quran to let us know that al-khamr al-maisir, that even alcohol and gambling, fiha manafi'u lin-nasi, there's many benefits in it. Right? But he said, even though that has benefits in it, the harm outweighs all of the benefits. The one harm outweighs all of the benefit. So just because something has benefit, it doesn't by default make it halal. That's one thing that we have to understand. The second thing is that consumption of any type of substances that changes the mindset. The difference of the debate occurred amongst the scholars is something that intoxicates or gets you high, or, you know, Imam Abu Dawud. I remember you were asking about the hadith. I was able to, yeah, Abu Dawud actually mentions a hadith that Rasulullah says that any muskir, anything that makes you high or overly relaxes you, is considered haram, right? Meaning an unnatural type of induction of relaxation, right? And that's where he was talking about the sativas and the other strain, the sativas indica. And indicas, right? One of them, I can't even remember, has more CBD in it, so it'll relax you more. The other will be a little more racy. Right. But nonetheless, they are intoxicants. And why, we have to ask the question, why do people consume intoxicants in the first place? You know, I was talking to my students, and I said, a very simple way of looking at this is that love given and love taken is something very, very strong and powerful to the human being. Reason for that is, if somebody's given lots and lots of love, the less void they have inside of their hearts, right? The more void you have in your heart, you need some type of illumination, and you need to put something in there that temporarily gives you a feeling, whether it's of escape, as you were mentioning, or making you feel happy, right? To release whatever chemicals. But the heart, at the end, needs to fill those voids. And if it doesn't have that type of love, and if it's not given that type of love, if it's not able to project that type of love, it needs to put something in the heart to make up and substitute for that. But it's only going to last for a small period of time, and then you're going to be back into your own misery, right? So love actually goes a very long way. And when I mean love, I'm not trying to make it like a super Christian type love that Jesus loves you, love blindly. No, I'm talking about on a very individual, family, cultural, you know, social fabric level of love, right? But that being said, you know, the stringent conditions have to be met. For instance, the opinion that I very much promote is that if there's no other substitute, there's no other medication in the physician, upright physician for Muslims, we have to make sure that we go to Muslim upright physicians. If you don't have access to Muslim upright, meaning that they understand Islam a little bit and they have an inclination toward Islam, and alhamdulillah,
Muslims.
I was just
going to clarify that. Like, yeah. Let's not just say Muslim upright, like, yeah. Practicing,
yes.
Muslims who understand Islam,
yes.
And then they're physicians.
Exactly, okay. Right? That's very, very important. And some of the scholars are, you know, when something is by default haram or intoxicant, they say, you know, at least two upright, right? Or two practicing Muslims, Muslim physicians. Muslim physicians, especially in, you know, major cities, we have, alhamdulillah, lots and lots of doctors and physicians. So if they say, you know what, there's no other substitute for you, and cannabis seems to be, you know, so be it. Then that's a whole different thing, right? And cannabis can also be consumed without getting high on certain types of diseases or whatever the case may be, right? Yeah, please. Yeah. So that's one thing that has to be clarified, that, yeah, there's certain things that even opiates, right? If something is an opiate and the doctor says that this is the only pain medication that's going to help you manage your pain and you're not going to be able to conduct your life, that's a whole different thing, right? But taking opiates just for getting high, that's still getting high, and that's a type of haram. That's a type of harma, right? And, yeah, so, I mean, that's basically just something I wanted to chime in. And I know that you had a lot more detail. Right. But before, since we're in the first 15-minute mark, I don't want people to just get excited and thinking, you know, that
start lighting up. Exactly.
Yeah, he's got all the terminologies, too, mashallah. Anyways, go ahead. Take it away, brother.
Alhamdulillah. So, basically, you know, cannabis plant has two main chemicals. There's hundreds of chemicals, but it's got two main chemicals. It's got THC and CBD.
Yeah.
Right? THC, tetrahydrocannabinol, CBD, cannabidiol. Most, like, young people, at least in California, like, they know THC and CBD.
Yeah.
And they know the difference between them because, like, the drug culture is very prominent over there, right? So THC basically is the thing that's going to make you high, okay? CBD actually inhibits THC. That's what the research is showing.
Yeah.
Now. So the higher CBD you have, the less effects of THC, less likely are you to get high. So you go into like any marijuana dispensary and you look at their menu, okay? They have like a menu of like strawberry kush, and they got like black, you know, whatever, orchid, and you know, different, you know.
Maui Waui.
Yeah. So you probably know the menu.
I've never heard of it.
Okay,
I'm just talking about what Sheikh Hammer told me.
Mashallah.
That was in the late 90s. Maui Waui was hot. Now it's, that's nothing now. Now it's, they're engineering on such a level. Yeah. And the female plant is what they actually look for. What I heard is the male plant, the minimal research is, just, you know how there's male plants and female plants and there's ways of determining, but the female plant is what the people that grow look out after. They don't want the male plant to actually tarnishes it. It actually tarnishes the high or whatever the case may be. But anyways, yeah, so you were talking about strawberry cushion and all that good stuff.
Yeah. So
bad stuff.
Yeah, you got like different THC CBD content, right? So THC content is like 20%, 25%, gets up to 30%.
Right.
CBD content on all these menus is like less than, you know, 0.1% or something like that, which means that almost all of the stuff that's being sold, it's to get them high, right? But then you have a lot of strains coming out now. They're kind of re-engineering to get higher CBD content. Once the CBD content gets high enough, the THC content is very low. That stuff cannot get you high.
Yeah.
Right? So you got like CBD oil, which has some THC in it, but it's got a ratio of like 20 to 1. It's got a ratio of 40 to 1 or something like
now,
that.
Now, do they both act the same for medical purposes?
That's exactly what I discovered, and that's very important for Muslims. So, because see, for people who are looking at medical cannabis, right, medical marijuana, they don't care how much CBD goes in there, how much THC goes in there. Right? That's not really like a huge thing,
right?
Because for them, getting high is not. They can get drunk. They don't have an issue, right? Yeah. We have a problem with the high and
with
the drunk, right? That's
right.
Intoxication part of it, mm-hmm. right? Depending on how you define intoxication, so that's our issue. Now, what's happening? What's really interesting is that research is showing that it's CBD that provides most of the medical benefits rather than the THC.
Anti-inflammatory.
For the vast majority of medical benefits, right? With one exception, right? I could look that up. I forgot what it was. So you don't need to have very high CBD THC content, which means you're not going to be getting high for most of these things. Now, this wasn't known for a long time. So most of the research has been done on high THC content. Whereas now we're looking and realizing, oh, wait a minute, high CBD content, actually, that's where most of the medical properties are.
Yeah.
And for Muslims, that's not like an intrinsic problem because it's not going to make you high.
Yeah.
So if that product is not going to make you high, there's a lot more leniency in saying that, you know what, you're more likely to qualify as that being a medical, as long as there's no other alternative, as long as, you know, you're not intentionally trying to, you know, consume this for whatever other reason, as long as it's proven to be effective, all of those things.
Yeah.
And which is great. Actually.
Yeah, no, it is. And I know even for pain management, there's something that occurs in the brain. I mean, it's just if someone's in lots of pain and the THC will numb the portion or the receptors that I'm not remembering exactly. I don't want to actually make something up, but it's not actually getting rid of the pain. It's actually just blocking the receptors for you to feel the pain. It's not actually helping the pain itself, the THC levels, which is why it's actually CBD would be much more beneficial coupled with another type of medicine that you're using, right? So THC will mainly get you high and temporarily if you're looking for pain management. Now, let's just say that someone's allergic to opioids, right? Mm. And the doctor says, listen, you need some pain management to conduct your day. And, you know, we're going to give you a type of medication or a strain that does have some THC. Mm. You may feel high, but or a little bit, kind of like an opioid would, but it'll let you manage your life. You know, Islamically, that's something that It's a small group of people that would be dealing with that type of pain, you know. But that would be something that would be allowed based on what the doctor would recommend. Because some people will have some horrible reactions to opioids. That's the only option they have,
right.
Which
right.
is considered halal.
Right.
You know. So in that situation too, you know that Allah help us.
I got a question, Sheikh. So. Yeah. There's a podcast Sim and I did with a certain individual, like, was it 2 years ago?
Yeah, about 2 years ago.
On cannabis. It'll never see the light of day.
Yeah, she got upset about it and left.
She said it'll never see the light of day?
Well,
she was a weed doctor. She was a Muslim weed doctor.
Weed doctor.
Yeah.
Okay. And what was she saying?
Well, I asked a question at the very end, which I'll ask you too. Because, like, you mentioned that there's some scenarios that if we have that scenario, we go to an upright Muslim doctor who can like legislate that for us, right? But aren't there scenarios that they may not even be knowledgeable about? The question
Muslim doctor?
Yeah.
Oh, I was about to mention that. Like, yeah, definitely.
That's why the scholars and the doctors have to work together, you know?
Yeah, and, well, not only that. See, the thing is, so like the same way, like I mentioned, like a lot of scholars don't really understand marijuana completely to be able to give like a detailed ruling on it.
Yeah.
Like, there's a ton of doctors. I would say the majority of doctors who are trained in like a traditional medical school, I say traditional medical school, like a normal medical school, who don't know much about marijuana at all. They read like a, you know, some Huffington Post article and they're like, okay, I made up my mind. Like, they didn't study this. It's not part of their medical school training, right? Sure. And a lot of people don't read up on their field. So they don't really know much about neither the Islamic part, but also they don't even know about the medical part of cannabis and where are the benefits. So there's a problem on both sides.
Okay.
Right? Yeah.
So how do you like? How do you? Cause the question I asked her, and this is kind of what got her irritated at the very end. Was like, can medical marijuana be prescribed as an aphrodisiac for women to help them get off? Hmm. Because you know, at work, I remember I was having a conversation with some friends, coworkers at
just
work.
Before you start, kids.
No, we already gave them the disclaimers ahead of the episode.
Okay, I read that. Yeah.
No, just this portion. But go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. Because I remember,
you guys know who I'm talking about.
I remember at the time I was having a conversation. Like, and she, first of all, she was really shocked that I had conversations like this at work. That's another story. But we were talking about like, yeah, man, you know, Mahin, you know, you got to give him some Hennessy or something. You know what I'm saying? Like getting that wine. I'm like, yo, we don't drink. Like, you know, it's against our religion. It's like, oh, snaps. So I was like, wait a second, maybe this is a solution. Because he's like, yeah, because like my like non-Muslim coworkers, they're like, yeah, alcohol's got to be part of it. That's got to loosen them up. It's like maybe marijuana does the same thing. Like if that's a problem for Muslim couples, the lack of like intimacy or whatever, maybe we do weed, you know, as that.
Maybe we do weed.
I mean, no, but like,
let's get high.
Yeah.
But she actually did say that she has, I remember her saying that she did use it as a, she has prescribed that in the past.
For an aphrodisiac.
Yeah.
That's probably why she found it problematic.
But doesn't it generally,
so here's the thing. So look, going back to our principles, right? So we got principle number one is there's no alternative available.
Yeah.
Okay. Like they say, strawberries can be an aphrodisiac. You got chocolate. You got a bunch
avocados.
Avocado. You got some other things, right? So is there a reasonable or potential alternative available? Number one, right?
Yeah.
Number two, which we didn't mention is a condition, is that this quote-unquote illness or problem is significantly affecting your life function. Right, so just to say, like, you know, oh, me and my husband, we're not like, you know, in the mood sometimes and things like that, so we'll go ahead and use this. That's not, I mean, you know, if it gets to a point where it's really becoming a problem, maybe you can make an argument. So like, there is a gray area, what I'm trying to say, right?
Sure.
There's a gray area. These principles are clear-cut principles, but they need to be applied differently according to different people's circumstance.
Yeah, right? Even like just talking it out, like, you know, just talking it out and finding out what the issues are. There may be some underlying, you know, reasons why there's not intimacy. You know, it helps a lot just to talk to somebody and finding out what it is, or just a therapist. You know, you have to exhaust all options before you just roll up a joint because there's no intimacy.
And especially on this issue, right? Like,
yeah. And everyone reacts. Yeah, I'm sorry to cut you off. Everyone reacts differently. Some people get super anxious. Some people get depressed. Some people feel like they're on LSD. Some people get sleepy.
That's what Imam Zarqashi said. Yeah. 800 years ago, he said the same thing. It's like people do hashish, and like some people get a little bit violent, some people get tired, some people get sleepy.
Yeah.
So if like you do it and you like get tired, nothing's happening anyway.
Yeah. And children before the age of 25,
you didn't achieve the goal in
right.
the first place.
And
right?
It's very much understood that scientific research is that, you know, before the age of like 20 and 25, if people consume marijuana, they shouldn't, because their brains haven't grown properly yet. It actually hinders the growth and messes with the hormones, and the growth of the brain itself gets hindered. Right, so a lot of us know kids in high school that were potheads, and they're total almost vegetables now. They can't even think properly, you know. So while the brain is growing, I think what they said physically stops growing around 25 to 28 or something like that.
Yeah.
And in Islam, we believe the intellect stops growing. You know, where the brain is complete as far as the intellect at the age of 40, right? But it messes with all of that, right? So everybody knows that whether you're pro marijuana or not, before the age of 25, someone shouldn't be even casually, I think, smoking, because it hinders the growth of their brains too.
Now, right. There's a sister in the chat who's saying that marijuana is known to stop seizures in patients. Before you answer, you have to say it with that guy in mind. Sister asked a beautiful question.
May Allah bless him. We love you. We love you, Zakir Naik.
MashaAllah. We's beautiful, mashaAllah.
Come on, say.
Sister asked a beautiful question.
Awesome.
I can't do that. I'm not going to do the accent. I could do it, but I'm not going
to. Okay. So what do you think?
He got principles, Mike.
Alhamdulillah.
Go
but
ahead.
In your research, what did you find was the most compelling reasons to use medical or marijuana?
So when it comes to seizures, right, in my research, it shows that, yes, it really, cannabis helps with seizures a lot. But what's most interesting, seizures are very serious, you know, and it's the CBD that helps the seizures.
Yes.
Which is like perfect for Muslims, because like it's the high CBD content. It's not the THC. And that's what people don't get. So like people who don't understand this, they're like, wait, basically what you're saying is like that, you know, you go to like Snoop Dogg or Snoop Lion, whatever he changed his name to, like what that guy's smoking, my son needs to smoke that in order to stop the seizures. And it's like, absolutely not. No, that's not the case. We're talking about like, you know, putting like a tincture of high CBD in his mouth.
Yeah.
He's not smoking it. He doesn't need a bong. You know, he doesn't need to vape it per se, you know, and it will deal with his seizures as well.
Okay. And just seizures, is there anything else that you found?
There's a lot. So, I mean, there's a whole list.
The top three reasons just off the top of your head, like.
What do I got on my paper?
Because I know there's a lot of people who have a lot of ailments. And
that's the second page. I have the first page, too.
We're just trying to provide some community service to people who may not have tried some kind of alternative treatments for things that they may have thought that was haram.
And people have to remember, when we resort to things, dude, there's many things. Even like people are like, oh, it stops cancer or helps with cancer. There's many other things that are better for cancer than marijuana.
Yeah.
Right? Because I heard Muslims talk about it, right? You know, even juicing, like beet juice and ginger is known to have, you know, anti-cancerous properties, which is actually supposed to be at a higher concentration, but much better than marijuana, and you don't have to worry about getting high, you know what I'm saying? So there's many other options out there. It's just enticing that something can have medical properties and you can get high at the same time, which intrigues us as human beings. You know, we always want an escape. We need an escape, you know, once in a while, and that's good, you know? But it doesn't have to be through substances that are going to change you know? There's many things you can do. There's many things you can consume that are, anti-cancerous or whatever we want to call it. But again, man, I want to, you know, just talk to the youth and say that if you feel that you need to consume something as an escape, there's a void in our heart, right? And we can fill that with many, many things, right? We can fill that with
Quran,
obviously, right? And Quran has shifa. But sometimes people are like, you know what? They haven't seen that light. They've seen Quran is a chore. That's why I used the word love, man. If you don't have enough love in your life and you're not able to give people love, that's something you have to practice. And then obviously I'm going to say go to the Quran. But some people, they're like, okay, Quran, I don't even understand it. Even though you don't understand it, just for our sake, Quran has shifa. Whether you can understand it or don't understand it. Sam, you and I have been doing an exorcism together.
Oh, yeah.
Right? We've seen exorcism. Somebody who may not even be practicing, the Quran is read on them. Right? And even the gentleman that was performing the exorcism.
Yeah.
Right? He read, do you remember when he was reading on the Zamzam water and he was giving her Zamzam and she was like, no, I'm good now. There's no more. There's nothing wrong with me. It was a jinn talking.
There's
nothing wrong with me. And he gave her the water. She's like, oh, gasoline. Oh, you're giving me Windex. Remember that? And we're like, whoa. So even
I love the reference, though, by the way, because 'tis the season.
Yeah.
For an exorcism reference. Inshallah,
we will have an exorcism.
You celebrate?
We will have an exorcist. Dude, I'll tell you something about Omar, bro. This guy, Mustafa Omar, got principles. And he's a jolly, smiley guy. I live with him, mashallah. How many? Was 6 months we lived together in Egypt? Yeah, about 6 months, mashallah. One of the most amazing brothers I live with. We'll have a separate episode just about our life with him because I don't want to praise in front of him. He might feel uncomfortable. But this guy, this gentleman got principles, man.
Yeah.
This guy, you're not going to be able to waver him whatever principles he has. And if you actually, maybe I've seen him angry once and you don't want it to happen. No, I haven't seen him angry. But no. I'm afraid of that because people that are usually as nice as him when they get angry, they start turning green, you know?
Yeah, they start turning green and they'll put you in a headlock and jiu-jitsu.
Rear naked choke.
Yeah, smack a knife. I actually want to. So let's summarize the points real quick before we get lost.
We're having fun. You want to come back to those? You want to come back to that question?
No, there were things
you were asking about. You asked like what are the top seizures? Three?
The top three. Yeah,
so you got seizures. Yeah, so basically you got like chemo patients.
Yes.
Chronic pain, glaucoma, HIV, multiple sclerosis, Parkinson's disease, PTSD, rheumatoid arthritis.
Yeah.
Right? So awesome. Most of these, except the stimulating the appetite, is pretty much high CBD products.
Nice.
Appetite's a main one, which is basically, there's discussion on like you need more THC and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Increasing the appetite?
Increasing the appetite.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's for like kids. You might want
to. No. Even elders, grown-ups. There's some people who have a disease. One of my friends, actually, his grandmother passed away. She had something. It's a chemical that's released in the brain that makes you feel satiated.
Yeah.
So she never knew. She used to forget to eat because she never felt hungry. And she actually, I think she passed away from that disease.
Wouldn't it be amazing though if it was just for kids? Like, oh, kids, you're not eating. Let me sprinkle some.
But people
THC
do that.
In your food.
No, people in the Muslim world, you know what they give kids, right? For hunger, they give them fenugreek.
Yeah.
Fenugreek actually sparks entices the hunger a lot too.
Fenugreek.
Fenugreek.
Tastes awful.
You mix it. You mix it in something.
That explains the munchies when people are high.
Yeah, everything
is THC. Opium, but alhamdulillah. Okay, good. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So summarizing the point. So, there's. Recreational marijuana is still haram, right?
100% clear cut. Single scholar that
clear cut
would say that.
One of the brothers.
What if it's a little bit though? No, I'm just saying you have to.
I mean, like, dude, you gave me the Sim smirk. Okay,
okay.
I've known you forever, sure. And that smirk is usually a troll. Okay,
I'm just saying, like,
let's
if it's like
way.
Weakened down to 2%, where you
it's
are,
not, it's not recreational then, right? Because you're not really enjoying anything.
Yeah, but
what's the point of
let's
it?
Just say you're kind of.
I like the way it tastes.
Just to take the edge off. That's what
it won't take the edge off if you're taking that little. So what's the point?
What are you smoking?
Me and him were discussing this before the podcast.
We literally were discussing this point.
So he's gonna
like set the principle.
No, even you will, man. This is your thing, man. I don't want to, but even with alcohol, like I'll give you an example.
Well,
right?
You can't compare. Alcohol is much.
I'm progressively working onto something here.
Yes,
if you want to know,
go ahead, Sheikh.
Yeah, go ahead, Sheikh. He looks down. Go ahead, Sheikh. What a troll. He's such a...
For the
those
new
of you guys who don't listeners, he does that to dig deep, bro, because he don't... Go ahead, Sheikh, because he never talks like that.
And for new listeners, he's
like,
been my best friend since we were kids. I get to be like this with him, okay?
Yeah, and if
it's
he calls me Sheikh, I feel uncomfortable. I tell him not to call me Sheikh. That's how far we go back. Like, when he calls me Sheikh, I feel uncomfortable, and he knows it. So, anyways, like, even if you were to take, like, a pin, right?
Yeah.
And you dip it in vodka, and you take it out and tell someone to sip it. Or just put it in your mouth. Even nothing's going to happen to you, but even a little bit of it is haram and a lot of it is haram, right?
Yeah.
The discussion that you're talking about is a great discussion because people in the scholars in the past have discussed in its origin, you know, we call it bi'aynihi, is it haram? Meaning the fact that itself is alcohol, is it haram? Or is it because it's going to intoxicate you? So the fact that it's going to intoxicate you for alcohol, I'm going to get to other intoxicants too because marijuana is an intoxicant, right? The fact that it is an intoxicant itself, a little bit of it would be haram, and a lot of it would be haram. It's not haram until the point of intoxication. You understand what I'm saying? Or until the point of getting drunk. Are you with me, sir?
Yeah.
All right. So now let's talk about other things that are intoxicants. We'll take marijuana, for instance, right? Yes, scholars have talked about hashish and marijuana in the past, saying that since it itself is not alcohol and it is an intoxicant, but is it haram because it will cause intoxication and to get up to that level is haram? Or is even a little bit of it haram? You know, Imam Taymiyyah, and Imam Qarafi, I think, Imam Taymiyyah has the harshest opinion on it. He says that the plant is the most evil plant to grow on this earth. And whoever denies that it's haram, it's an act of kufr that they deny that.
Which plant?
The marijuana.
Cannabis.
Hashish.
Does he know about the cocaine plant?
Yeah, listen, who cares? I don't know. He's not alive.
It's much more worse.
I don't know if...
And poppy.
Okay, forget about that. We're talking about this plant.
Okay.
Okay?
We should give him the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah,
about
but
those.
By the way, cocaine has to be processed a lot more than,
not
marijuana.
Not the poppy seed.
Fine. Whatever. We'll talk about that. Scholars have talked about that in the past, right?
Just being a troll.
I know he is.
Relax.
Yeah. So he said that it's the most evil plant, and whoever denies that it's haram, it's an act of kufr, because that's how... convinced he was, and the scholars around him were convinced that it's haram.
Yeah.
Right? He was of the opinion that even a little bit of it, whether you get high or not, it's still haram, the consumption of it.
Wow.
Because it is intoxicant, right? There's other scholars who talked about a little bit, and, you know, the Sheikh mentions it in here that there was a small minority opinion. And if I'm misquoting you, please let me know. It's just an honor for me to my fellow, roommate and someone who went to school with me. To represent his fatwa. This is actually an honor for me. I'm being serious. You know? So that being said, he mentions, because he's a very thorough researcher, he mentions for the amana of knowledge, you know, that he's researching, he mentions the minority of people that mentioned that, you know, hashish in a small amount, why it wouldn't be haram or why it would be haram. And he mentions that in the fatwa itself, right? By the way, is this fatwa published on the internet right
now
or no? Not yet. Okay.
It's being voted on by the Fiqh Council.
Okay.
This weekend.
Very cool.
We're voting on fatwas now?
That's how the Fiqh Council works.
But that's how a fatwa, you should have people, you know, stamp it.
Isn't voting kufr?
It was more than...
Yeah.
That's a whole nother discussion.
more minds to think about. You know what I'm saying?
We know your background. I heard about your background too. That's so that, my that, background, that, yeah. that now that I understood your background, yeah. like I know where these discussions are coming from.
Yeah, yeah man. But honestly, I know this is not a part of it, but I want your honest opinion, and we don't mind because our fans are our fans, mashallah. No matter what we do, they're always gonna be our fans, inshallah. Do you think we're a little weird? You come over here, do you come here and be like, dude, did you ever, like, even the first episode you were here for, did you ever think, like, man, I can't wait to get out of this situation that I'm in right now?
No, not at all. You know, the thing is, because I think what it is, you know, like, people, when they have, like, scholarly discussions, or if there's, like, a sheikh on or something like that, they're used to expecting a certain, like, level of high seriousness, a certain demeanor. And I don't think what you guys do is not disrespectful, but it's not the norm.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, when you and I used to sit, even in Nadwa, like, you know, or in Egypt, we would have discussions like this. Yeah. We're very casual.
Just chilling, yeah.
But I think people are not used to seeing casual discussions, you know, with, like, shuyukh present or some serious Islamic topic or something. So it's, like, very strange for people. They're like, well, what's going on? Why is Maheen making all these weird, you know, jokes?
No, but when you were here, did you ever think that, hey, man, these guys are a little... No. They've lost it. They got loose screws.
No.
Because we think that about ourselves.
No.
I don't think that at all.
Do you think we got loose screws?
I think I do. Okay. I think Maheen does a little bit.
Oh, wait, Maheen. Maheen, don't get me wrong, dude. No. You are amazing. I love you so much, but... The reason why he's here is obviously because of his voice, and he's crazy. Yeah.
And I actually don't even think I'm crazy.
That's okay. Everyone else does.
That's what crazy people say.
Or maybe this is a whole act for him because he needs a reason to consume some Mary Jane.
Maybe. I want to sum up the points real quick, just because we have to wrap up, and your Uber driver is going to be here pretty soon.
Yeah, he's probably waiting outside.
We could have made this into a 2-hour podcast.
So somebody is asking some questions real quick.
Is that the Uber driver?
No, he's, he's a good friend of our podcast.
Maybe you never know. Yeah.
Are the health benefits of CBD oil proven to be good, or are there any medical research to prove that claim? I think we answered that. I think CBD has been proven to help a variety of ailments.
As of right now. Now, medical stuff changes
again. Yeah, the
every 5 years,
the
every 10
proven,
years.
Right?
It's theory right now. Yeah. Everything. That's with everything, though, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. So
there's
as of right now.
There's a strong indication to show that it does have these medical benefits that's being ascribed to it.
Wonderful.
All right. Sounds good. Well, Jazakallah khair, Sheikh Mustafa. And by the way, there was a brother that asked about the haram. Where's the proof it's haram? You covered it. It falls under intoxicants,
yeah,
right?
Because some people say, well, it's not in the Quran. It's not in the
It doesn't say.
Because alcohol is not used. The term intoxicant is used in the Quran, right?
Yeah.
So I've read some cats telling me that, you know, ecstasy is halal because the Quran never says ecstasy is haram.
That's what we all said when we were in high school. We're like, oh, we can do this. It's not specifically mentioned in the Quran. Yeah. Because
We all did that. I think most of us did that. It's all based on desire, right?
Yeah.
If you desire to do something and you're like, you know what? If I don't find Allah specifically saying, hey, Mustafa, don't smoke weed, I didn't find that in the Quran. So like, you're looking for something like clear cut.
Yeah.
You know? People used to argue that too. It's like it says don't go near zina in the Quran, but it didn't say like
don't commit zina.
It didn't say you can't have a girlfriend. It didn't say you can't go to like the movies with like a girl or something like that. So everyone makes that argument. There's a basis for desire. Partly, maybe there's a misunderstanding.
Yeah.
They don't understand how to interpret the Quran.
Yeah.
But we've had like I did like a whole class like just a few days ago. It's all about analogy and qiyas.
Yeah.
Extending the rules of the Quran.
Yeah.
And sunnah and hadith, based upon other scenarios that we've never encountered, because Islam is a complete way of life. If you encounter something new that's not mentioned in the Quran, hadith, it doesn't mean that there's no guidance coming from Allah or His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that helps you towards this specific thing.
And can I just add something for like 30 seconds based on what he said, based on what the Sheikh said?
Sure.
One thing is that, you know, a Jewish man came to Ali radiallahu anhu and he said, you said the Quran has everything. And this example I'm going to give of the life of the Khalifa Ali radiallahu anhu is going to put something into perspective. It's elementary and it can be used in advanced circles too, right? He said, you say that the Quran has the answer to everything and teaches you about everything. Ali radiallahu anhu said, yes. He said, okay, tell me in the Quran where it teaches me how to bake bread.
Yeah.
He said, okay, you want to know where the Quran says that? He said, yes. He said, okay, come with me. He goes to a baker. They walk together to a baker and he says, how do you make bread? And the baker tells him, well, you do this and you put yeast in it, you let it rise, and you know the whole process. He said, there you go. That's the Quran's answer. He's like, what do you mean? That's not in the Quran. He says, have you read the entire Quran? The Jewish man said, yeah, I didn't find it. And he says, then you missed the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Fas'alu ahli dhikri in kuntum la ta'alamun. Ask the people of knowledge if you don't know. Right? And that is the ruling of the Quran. If you don't know something, that's why we're actually discussing this. You know, mashallah, he's becoming the person from ahli dhikr as far as cannabis is concerned. And a doctor is somebody. So sometimes a mufti can't pass a fatwa without consulting a doctor if it's not in his realm, which is why they both need to work together. Right? So everything is not going to be exactly in the Quran, but the principles are in the Quran. The verses are going to lead you to a hadith that's going to tell you about something, right? Allah didn't mention how to pray in the Quran, but Muhammad ﷺ taught us how to pray, right?
Sounds good. Yeah. Well, we got to wrap it up because this driver is here. Quick shout out to our sponsors again. Maybe they missed us in the beginning. My Wasiya, because you don't want the kuffar taking your kids. HalfRDeen to get married. HalfRDeen.com with Baba Ali. And also Wahid for your finances. Anything else?
Halal finances, Sharia finances.
Yeah.
And
give subscription on iTunes.
Yep.
5 stars. Follow us on YouTube. Tell your friends about us. Trying to just increase the content. Check us out on Mad Mondays and Taboo Thursdays. YouTube Live.
Taboo Thursdays. And make sure you donate to us via our donate page. This is not a free operation. This is actually tens of thousands of dollars every year. This is not very cheap at all. Please, Sheikh sees here, right here in the studio, all the lights and cameras, 4 or 5 different cameras over here, ready to give you guys the best type of production possible. We're still working our way to being the best, but we don't.
And we will, inshallah.
You know, and we're constantly improving, and we're getting better equipment and better stuff so that you guys have the best entertainment experiences possible while you're learning. So. Keep us in your duas if you don't have the money to donate. With that being said, hey, smoke weed every day, as Dr. Dre says. No, I'm just joking.
I was like, wait, what a way to end this.
All right.
What if somebody chimed in for the last minute? And all they heard was sponsors and
they can hear it. They can listen to the re-recording.
No, I know.
For a special guest, Sheikh Mustafa Omar, and my co-host, Sheikh Amr Saeed and Sim, this is Mahin signing off for the Mad Mamluks. Assalamu alaikum.
We love you. Assalamu alaikum.